Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio. Phoenix Business Radio, goodness gracious, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and we connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki and clearly have had not enough coffee yet today, but I'm very excited to introduce you to a group of professional women from the East Valley who are here to, I'm thinking they're all from the East Valley, maybe I should have checked that out ahead of time, to just really have a conversation around women in business and where it fits to be an author, to express your love for life and business and whatever other organizations you represent. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Jan Whalen, president of Whalen Voices. Welcome back to the studio, Jan.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
So happy to have you. And you're not East Valley, are you?
No, I live in Peoria, so I'm West Valley, but I'm around, you know, the East.
As soon as I said that, I thought, you know, I don't think that's the case. So we're just here representing Arizona, Metro Phoenix. And also welcome back to the studio, Maria Tomas Keegan, founder and chief inspiration officer with Transition and Thrive with Maria.
Thanks for having me back, Karen. Yeah, and thanks for inviting me, Jan.
Yes. Yeah, actually, everybody in the room here is a guest of Jan's, and it's fun to have both of you back again. You are also not East Valley, are you?
I am not East Valley.
Shame on me. Where are you?
I'm in Goodyear.
Okay.
Definitely West Valley.
Are you good?
Valley.
Yeah, Dan, our intern, is listening in today. He won't be on mic, but he's also in Goodyear. So you gals both have had a little ways to travel. I might end up realizing that Ellen and I are the only two from the East Valley. So Kelly Lorenzen is also here with us, owner of KLM Consulting. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you. I live in Tempe.
Ta-da!
So I was excited.
Yeah, not
this
yes.
This is down the street.
Yeah, it was a close commute for you. How long have you been in Tempe? A while?
My whole life.
Really? Yeah. Where did you graduate?
From Xavier. Downtown.
Xavier. Yes. I'm a McClintock grad, also in Tempe. Lots of friends who went through Xavier. So I'm very happy to have you here today. And since this is our first time meeting, we'll get to know each other and I get to hear about how you work with Jan and what else you do with your company as well. And last but not least, Ellen Harrington, vice president with Chandler Sister Cities. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jan, for inviting me.
Absolutely. And Chandler. So I grew up in Tempe, but I do live in Chandler. And that's why I just led in thinking that I was being selfish around the East Valley. So we're going to spread the love and really open it up to Metro Phoenix. So I would love to start our conversation really with Jan and tell us a little bit about Whalen Voices. And then we'll just have a chance to hear from everybody. And then we'll see where the conversation takes us. So who is Whalen Voices and who is Jan?
Thank you. Thank you. I started out in Iowa about 25 years ago, and my company was called Personal Jazz. And I started out as a presentation coach. So I had a lot of experiences there in Cedar Rapids, working with individuals and large companies. Moved here, got back into teaching, that was my former career. And then about 10 years, started to work with authors. And I met some publishers, but actually they were really book shepherds. And a book shepherd is somebody who helps others self-publish their books. And so I started doing that. Then I got into writing books myself. And gradually it started with confidence. My topics were confidence. And now I've gotten into stories. I work with men and women, but generally women now.
And when you say stories, just pulling the stories out that they've already lived and they represent and helping them find a way to document that in a book then?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. If you think about your life and think about the number of decades that you've lived, if you even had one story for each day of each year, of each decade, I mean, that's like an ocean of stories. And so we help to simplify the process and get people going.
I love the word shepherd for that particular aspect of who you are to women and men in business. It's amazing. And you are also an author. So can you share a little bit about the books that you've written? I mean, you gave us a context for it, but
sure.
A favorite one?
Well, they're all my favorites. I was a book shepherd before I was an author. And someone said to me, Jan, you're going to be resentful of the people you help because you're not writing your own book. And I wondered, well, what could I write? So I started off with Rock Solid Confidence, and that has to do with presentation and all the things that I had taught or worked out or learned from clients from my years of being a presentation coach. And then I was writing another book, and a friend said, Jan, I want to do a little program at church. Would you help me do this presentation? And it was, she said, I want the topic to be writing the story of your life. And I said, sure, fine, I can do that. So I looked at the flyer and I was the speaker. So I did the program and it was so much fun. I came out with my second book, A Character Safari, Remember to Write the Stories of Your Life. And then last year, this is a really favorite book. It's called You Are the Perfect Age. I started out realizing that when we turn a new decade, it's a big deal. And I guess I hadn't thought about that before. So I decided to do blogs with somebody turning 10, 20, 30, all the way up to 100.
Oh.
And it was so fascinating. The answers I got were so fascinating. I decided this has got to be a book. So we made it into a book. And that was last year. So I guess maybe my last book is my favorite
book. It's always that way, I think, isn't it? Right? Oh, this one's so good. And then you write another one.
Yeah.
Sounds like I just hear in your language that you just have this really eloquent way of using words, and even just the titles of your book sound like, oh gosh, I got to get my hands on that. And how nice to be that shepherd for other people to help draw out those stories. Mm-hmm. What is it like to work with people? If someone said that they want to write a book, and it just begins with a conversation?
Yes, usually. And usually I want to know exactly where they are, because once in a while, well, for instance, I worked with Patricia twice. The first time she had her book really all written, it was a children's book. And she said, I just want to buy an hour of your time, take a look at it. And so we looked at it and I made just a few suggestions and, you know, so that was that. But the next book, I helped more with the content and the structure of it. So the structure is really what I love doing. And I actually worked with Maria. So, you know, I love that. And I think mostly we, at the beginning, decided, what will this book be about?
Who's it for? Yes.
Yeah. Who's it for? Yeah. Why would they care to read it? And how can we make your message clear and add your story into it? So, you know, Maria's book is going to be a really, really wonderful book. Can't wait to hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So is it out yet, Maria?
October 2nd is the, it's coming up soon. I'm both excited and terrified at
yes.
the same time, because this is my first solo project. And then the print version will be out later in October. So the Kindle version will be the October 2nd date.
Very exciting.
But I just wanted to say, if I may, just interject about what it was like to work with Jan. I think one of the most important gifts that I got from the very early stages of our working together was she came to my home. We sat in the comfy chairs in my home office, and she just asked me questions about my life, going way back when it was all said and done. And I think we were together over 3 hours, and she is feverishly, if I can say that word right, taking notes. And then she transcribed those notes when she went home and gave them back to me. And it was going through that process that made me realize that I have a lot to say. I've done a lot. I've experienced a lot. I've felt a lot. I've learned a lot. And that became the first part of my three-part book. And it was Jan's encouragement and that process of taking me through, you know, I would never have done that on my own. I would have struggled. And that first part of the book really came out it just flowed out of me after that.
Because it was a conversation and really just being encouraged by Jan, who I would imagine you have to be an excellent listener.
Oh, and note taker.
It takes that. And yet, I know, thank you for your compliment. However, Maria has worked and it was already there. It was just coming out. Her writing is excellent. And I want to buy your book for all my sisters, because it's something we all go through struggles. Did you say the name?
Not
of
yet.
It?
So, yeah.
Oh, you want to?
Yes. Share. So spotlight's on you. Tell us the name of the book and where we'll be able to find it and all that juicy stuff.
So the title of the book is Upside Down to Right Side Up, Turning Transition into Triumph. And it will be on Amazon. In fact, the Kindle is on presale right now on Amazon. And I will launch that Kindle version on October 2nd and the print version on October 25th.
Wow. And you mentioned three-part book. So the first part is kind of your backstory and who you are.
And it is what I've experienced in terms of the phases of transition. And there are seven of them in my experience. So I share my story by describing the seven stages. I wrote a little poem at the very beginning of each stage, which was kind of fun. And it was an inspiration from Jan, because I used to write poetry when I was young and silly, and it was kind of fun to do it again. So I incorporated that into into the first and last part of my book. The second part is me telling stories of other women going through transition who each took a different path than I, but we ended up in very much similar places. So it was a way to talk about five of the major transitions that we go through. And I'm not sure I'm going to remember them all, but let me see if I can try. So it was divorce, loss of a loved one, caregiving, career, and yes, I've forgotten the fourth. So that's the second part of the book. And then the third part of the book is sharing my system called Five Petals of Power, which is a way for you to systematically go through transition and find your way.
And that is what, outside of now being this author, which is the new thing, that's what you do professionally. You help women thrive through their transition. And again, I know when we had you on last, and we've gotten to know each other a little bit outside of the studio too, but yeah. It really is around, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of transition it is, right? It could be from the outside world, it could appear to be a very minor, small transition, or it could be something very tragic and huge, like an, you know, overcoming an illness or a loss. And you just help women navigate that in the way that's best and most comfortable for them.
Right. And often it is not even just one life event that has knocked her off her foundation. It's often a sequence of events that just pile up. And we all feel, I'm strong, I'm resilient, I should be able to handle this. Mm-hmm. And we should ourselves to death as we just put on the mask every day and we keep going through the motions and we never really heal from the inside out so that we can thrive. We're just surviving and coping. So it's often not just one event, but one event that is the straw, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back.
Before y'all landed in the studio, Dan was asking how my trip to Munns Park was this weekend. Mm-hmm. I got to go to a little quick, you know, vacation with my eight of us from high school. And about once a year we get together, and it's fascinating. This is the first time we've been together in a couple years that somebody hasn't been in the middle of intense transition and change in their life. And it was kind of refreshing. We all sat back like, wow, no tears this time around, you know, but we've all been able to tenderly hold each other, but we all handle our transitions and our life chaos very differently. And it's great to have a great group of women. I don't see them frequently, but we, you know, it's kind of with those friends that you have that you pick up the phone, you may not have talked in 6 months, but you're like, oh my gosh, it's like we've been together forever. And I would imagine that not everybody has people like that in their life. And even if they do, to have someone like you as a coach and a guide to help us remember or even become aware that how we're handling it in our own way is in perfect order.
Exactly. And that we all have the choice to change it if we want to. And that's truly the crux of it. We have to choose to change it or we just stay stuck. And that's a choice. So a lot of women, it is easier sometimes to just stay stuck, but we have to consciously
choose to move past that and decide that I'm going to change this and I'm going to make it better. And the moment, the nanosecond that decision is made, that choice is made, things start to shift.
Wonderful. And how did you two meet originally?
We were members of the Starshine communities.
Oh, of course. I knew the answer to that. Yeah. I forgot, yeah. But that makes sense.
And that, And then Maria is a leader in the group. We've done a couple of projects together, and then we just started to work together. So, it's a great organization.
Wonderful.
When one of my workshop attendees said to me, Maria, you should write a book, I took that idea and then I took it to Jan.
Which is safe to
and
say.
And I said, what do you think? And she said, I think she's right. So she has shepherded me. Is that the right word?
That's perfect.
Sure. Yeah. Great word. Yeah.
All along the way. And it's just been a beautiful journey. And I'm so excited and terrified.
Yeah. Well, it's like having a baby. So, and she's right at the point of delivery. And so we go through this with every book. Mm-hmm. And so, and Maria is very capable. She's a beautiful writer. The book is clean, easy to read. But some of my clients, there are a couple of them I've worked with, English is not their first language. And so that's, another challenge. So I've got one who, she's from Russia. And at two, they found out she had a serious heart problem. So the Russian doctor said, take her to the orphanage and an American family will adopt her and they'll take her to America and she'll be healed. Well, she was in the Russian orphanage for 9 years. And then when she got here, she went to foster homes and it
wasn't quite what they
difficult,
had in mind.
Yeah. Then the next 10 years were filled with looking for love in all the wrong places. Mm-hmm. And she's 35 now. So she's one of my youngest clients. And she said just to me yesterday, this is the one book I'm going to do. I want to remember my life. I want to help people who have my disease. She's got the pulmonary hypertension is her disease. So she wants it to be inspirational. So again,
well, it sounds like it's going to be.
It's going to be. It's a very, very interesting story.
What a fascinating journey. Yeah. So let's bring Kelly and Ellen into the conversation. How do you, I think we talked about it offline before we were on air, but how do you two know each other?
I met Jan through Irish Network Arizona, which is a group of networking businesses. We're either Irish or Irish background, interest in Irish sometimes. And so I met Jan through that organization. And I wouldn't call her a mentor. She's a great friend. And learned so much from her. She gifted us with her presentation on You Are the Perfect Age for our Southwest Tea. It's an annual event that Chandler Sister Cities puts on. Just had the group, 150, enthralled. And then you could see the wheels spinning. Oh, I'm this age or this decade. And how do I fit in? What are my thoughts? Jan has a great way of making friends so easily. Like my best friend in Tullamore, Ireland is now her best friend.
Wow.
And it just works. She's magic.
Love it. And so you mentioned Sister Cities, and of course we shared that when we were introducing you. You're the current vice president for the Chandler Sister Cities.
Correct.
And how did you get involved, and what's your favorite thing about your role with Sister Cities?
I founded, co-founder, there was a small group of us in the beginning, but I'd always wanted to be a member of a sister city organization. I graduated with majors in French and English and a minor in Italian in the mid-70s. What do you do with that? My daughter began step dancing with Tom Bracken, with the Bracken School of Irish Dance in Chandler. He's a native of Tullamore. We just got to talking one night and just decided that, why not Tullamore? Why not make this connection? Began in 2007, going over and talking and priming people here, getting the interest level, what our mission is, economic development, community involvement, cultural exchanges, and education. So how does that fit between the two? And we formed the nonprofit. In 2009, we signed with Tullamore, and next February, we celebrate 10 years. of existence. So any ideas on celebration parties?
It's got to involve Irish dancing. I know that much.
Right, right.
And just this summer, you had an exchange of students that involved Intel.
We did. I wanted kind of a purpose, a mission for this particular exchange. We had four students from Tullamore, four students from Chandler. So it was lightly STEM-based. So Intel gave them a great tour, both in Leixlip, Ireland, and over here in Chandler. And the kids had a morning with GoDaddy and built websites. And there were a couple of other opportunities for a science base, and we're thinking of arts based for next year. The students and the families have bonded. They're still, I mean, even just 2 months, still communicating, and that's, you know, that's the purpose. That's what we want. And in fact, it turned out at over a wrap up meeting with the families, one of the moms, one of the host mothers, is actually an exchange student herself, 35 years with a family in Mexico. And she went down this summer for a wedding with that family and sang at the service. So that's what it's all about. President Eisenhower began it in 1956. And it, you know, throwing out, you know, we'd been through World War II, we'd been through Korea, and he just felt that we needed to find peace, start celebrating peace, one community, one individual at a time. And so he began the Sister Cities program at that. It's called Sister Cities International out of D.C. We began as Chandler Tullamore Sister Cities. We gained Sister City with Tainan last year. So we formed the new group called Chandler Sister Cities.
So it can be all-encompassing with other cities involved.
And
where's Tainan?
Taiwan. So we're excited about this new relationship and have an active group with them. So, you know, we'll see where all of this takes us.
It's exciting. You must be immensely proud that 10 years in, you've got two cities that are now in relationship with Chandler this way. Right. And exchange students and large corporations really excited about helping these kids better understand how they're playing into the economy.
Absolutely. We have taken a group to Tullamore 2 years ago, and we'll have another group going on behalf of Chandler, Tullamore Sister Cities. And so just to explore Ireland, but then to spend time in Tullamore with our sister city and the people there. They're wonderful people. We participate in some of the other activities with Sister Cities International. We've just had our sixth grand prize winner. They have a showcase called Young Artists and Authors. And so they'll provide a theme, and you can have any city that is a sister city can provide avenues for the students to write poetry, essay, photography, art to this theme. And then we'll have our contest here and have a reception and winners. Our first place winners are sent to D.C. to compete against the rest of the world. And this is our sixth year. We just had notice a couple of weeks ago that our first place essay is the grand prize winner.
Oh, my gosh. 6 years in a row. And different kids, right?
Oh, yes.
And the age range for these students that get to enter?
13 to 18.
Wow. Congratulations.
Just really, really excited to celebrate, you know, your students. This year, Arizona did a sweep. Not only did we take first for essay, but Mesa, Sister Cities, took first place for art and poetry. So we're thrilled. We will both host the showcase. They will host the showcase in February in Mesa, and we'll host it in Chandler in March.
That's incredible.
So we're excited.
What an opportunity for these students. And when you take this trip, next year, you said in 2019?
Yes.
That's not just for students. That's or is it?
No. It will have the separate student ambassador program, but no, this would be for adults.
Very fun. Wow. So, yeah. I've only known about Sister City through my friends when I went to high school in Tempe. Tempe has been very involved, I think, in Sister Cities. Mitchell and Harry Mitchell and the New Heisel families for many years.
Right.
And so I've always been curious. My own kids, who are now in their 20s, never got involved. But I'm always fascinated to hear about sister cities and love that idea of really just reaching out and helping economically, but also across the borders, just making those relationships. Do you know offhand if most sister city organizations begin kind of like a story with yours, that somebody who just has that passion in their heart and this neat connection with somewhere outside of our borders?
Absolutely. And that continues. If I don't know how all of the other
sure.
sister cities do. One note, gentleman with Tempe Sister Cities who sits on the, and we're part of a larger medium organization between our own individual cities and Sister Cities International is called Arizona Sister Cities. So we keep it at the state level. We have a conference every year. We share best practices. So Mike Curd sits on our board and he's with Tempe. We call him the poster child because he was one of the very first student ambassadors for the city of Tempe's Sister Cities program. And now he sits on the board. Yeah. And I think that's a wonderful
full
story.
Circle.
And that's, you know, another possibility, another reason for the success. And I want to remember today, September 11th, mm-hmm. Sister Cities International in the past started the September concert. It's no longer up, but we participated for 3 years, and it was called the September Concert. And what they wanted to do was lift up peace, celebrate peace through music and writings and speakers. And so we put on a concert for 3 years, and they were free and had donations, and all of the artists donated their time and effort. And so just wanted to remember that today.
It's a great way to pay tribute to, obviously, our country, those who've served, and everything else through music.
Right, right.
Hopefully they'll have an opportunity to bring that back at some point. Yeah, yeah. I'm fascinated with how many years it's been since 9/11, as
yeah.
I kind of paused this morning.
Right.
So, Kelly, hi, welcome.
Hello.
Just listening intently, how do you and Jan know each other?
Jan and I met at the Tempe Chamber of Commerce. We were both members, did a lot with the Women in Business Council. We chaired the council. We formed a lean-in group with some of the other women and got real close with the five of us to the point where we had always started asking, well, what about this? And how should I do this? You know, you start to become really close. And so Jan had a question about marketing. Well, would you be willing to help me? And I said, of course I would. I would love to help you. She's so intriguing and fascinating, and it's so easy to market her because she's so amazing and such a good writer.
So it began with a professional friendship, really. And then this desire to say, I need to know more. Kelly, help me. And now it's a working relationship as well. So you help Jan with Wayland Voices Marketing.
Correct.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your company then as a marketing professional. Who do you serve and what's your favorite thing about doing what you do?
I serve entrepreneurs. I didn't realize that until somebody asked me, what is the correlation or what of all your clients have in common? And I started to think about it and they all ended up being entrepreneurs. I've yet to have anybody else and they're my favorite because I am a serial entrepreneur as well. So people like Jan who are so creative makes it so fun. When she launched last year, when she was trying to launch the You Are the Perfect Age, we were trying to figure out what would be the best way to do that. And so we combined all of our network and threw a huge party at Southwest Airlines hangar downtown for to do her launch, her book launch. So just so fun to get to do, you know, events and marketing and social media and blogging.
You do it all.
All of it.
Yeah.
So and consulting, you know, it's fun to have Jan and my other clients bring me piles of stuff and, okay, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And, you know, I kind of shoot from the hip and it works. And it's just really fascinating to get to, just as Jan does. She's so good at helping people form their stories. Everybody has a story to tell. Everybody has a story to write. And Jan's so good at getting them to see that they do. The same with me is marketing. I'm not that good, or I don't know what to say. Yes, you are. And so we just figure out a way to make them shine.
Yeah. And a business owner, an entrepreneur gets so bogged down in the nitty gritty of what they're doing. And Kelly will say, okay, time for the newsletter. oh, okay, I don't know if I can do that. And she's constantly there to, and I know you do this for other clients too, what's important, what's first, what would be the appropriate thing to do? Even I'll say, well, how would I say this? How would I say that?
Mm-hmm. You know, also so, a shepherd in a sense.
She is.
Right? Helping us get out of the grind and say, listen, I know you're head in and you're getting done what you need to get done. But at the same time, you need to continue focusing on business that might not be right tomorrow or right today, right?
Fill the pipeline.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody. Oh, my girlfriend, Julie. So she's an interior designer, mainly working on flooring. And she just had a portion of her business, they've decided to go in a different direction. So she still has this huge client that she's had for 4 or 5 years, still has them, but a good portion of it has gone away because they're ready to do it themselves. And she said, you know, I've made the mistake of just sitting in the grind and making that my major focus, kind of knowing in the back here somewhere that, gosh, I probably ought to keep marketing it just for that, you know, when I'm ready to expand or if this doesn't stay with me for a long time. And she needed you in her life because now she's faced with, okay, now how do I fill that pipeline again?
It's the branding. You know, you never can walk, you are your brand, right? And constantly need to focus on that at a high level. And I tell people, do what you're good at and outsource the rest.
Yes. Dan and I have had that conversation frequently because as a new business owner, I've been doing just about everything by myself. And at 14 months in, it's time to shift that, you know, so that I could be in my zone of genius, right? And start focusing at building the business in a different way. You mentioned the Women in Business Council with the City Chamber. I just spoke to that group last week, which was kind of fun. They were right here at Max 6, which is where they'll be meeting going forward, I think, for most of their meetings. And the topic they asked me to talk about is this idea of branding, both your professional but also your personal brand. And I led with a story about a friend of mine who works at Intel, interestingly enough. She's been there her entire career. She's an engineer, a woman from India originally. And she knows that it might be about time where, you know, she transitions, maybe not her decision, right? Intel has gone through plenty of those transitions. And she said that she passed out her resume, you know, nervously, right? You've been there for over 20-something years and you brush up that resume, you hand it a couple of friends so you know it's safe, kind of like you going to Jan and saying, what if I wrote a book? And they gave her some feedback. And one person outside of Intel that she sent it to give feedback, they came back and said, well, what's your brand? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, what do you mean? What's my brand? And they're, no, you've got to have a brand to stand out. And here's this, you know, this professional woman who's had this great successful career with one company the entire time, looking at needing, having to put herself out there, you know, in a sense, filling her pipeline, going to that next gig. Mm-hmm. And they were encouraging her to really identify with her brand. Can you speak to that a little bit? I spoke to that at the group, but we all say something about ourselves anyway, we might as well have some control around what people think of us by leading with brand.
Correct. And you are your brand. People want to buy from you because they like you. Having a brand, having a story, people will remember your story. They will remember your brand. When you think of Coca-Cola, you think of the warm, fuzzy commercials, you know, think of Nordstrom. I just got to go to Nordstrom because somebody's going to help me figure out what to wear. You know, I mean, you think of those brands and you think one key thing, customer service or the Ritz or, you know, something that they've built their whole person around who they are, right? So pick that story. Why are you doing what you do? Why are you helping women, right? People want to know the why. They want to know the story and they'll remember the brand.
And they don't want it to be crunchy while you're trying to explain it either, right? I know that's how I feel in many of the different transitions in my life, both professionally and personally. I know how important it is to be able to speak to who I am and how I'm serving our community so that it's not hard for people to figure out. So is that part of what you do? Because obviously branding is who we are and the story that we have to share, who we serve, but marketing is how we go do that. Is that right?
Correct. And I'm a certified project manager, so everything's in each box, right? So, okay, what are we doing? You know, give me the project that keeps sitting on the back burner, you know, like it, if it was up to Jan, she would keep helping all these women all write their stories, and she'd never tell her own. She'd never write her, you know, the next book or market that You Are the Perfect Age or right. She'd be like, oh, it's fine because I'm helping all these women. No, come on. You wrote this book. It's amazing. Let's make sure everybody has it. Let's make sure everybody knows it's on Amazon to buy, you know, and keep building your brand, even though you have so much fun helping all these women and helping all these people write their story. So,
yeah, I think personal brand has so much to do with what we value most mm-hmm. and what we believe in. If we are really grounded in that, it becomes our brand. And then it's everything we say values that. Right? It honors that, right? Everything we do, if we come from that space. So I think that's a very large part of personal branding.
And we can attract, right? The people
Absolutely.
That we should be speaking to.
Yeah.
They tend to come into
based on that. Mm-hmm.
Our network easier based on what we're saying to the world.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And Kelly keeps telling me, okay, Jan, you know, you're interested in this and that and the other thing, but what does that have to do with story? Let that lead you. Let everyone know that when they think of story, writing your story, they think of you.
And there you go. So that's what you're kind of framing everything around is that piece of it.
Mm-hmm. What's the goal? What's the person's goal, right? What is the entrepreneur? What do you want, right? I mean, you get to be what you're an entrepreneur because you get to choose what you want to be, right? What do you want to be when you grow up, right?
Yeah.
So we can keep that focus. And then that keeps you happy. It keeps your business in line, keeps your brand in line, and business keeps coming then.
It establishes the momentum.
Wonderful. Jan, what is new with Wayland Voices? I know you spoke early on in the segment a little bit about some of the things you have been going on. What else?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I carry this close to my chest. This is a new seminar I'm doing, and it's a third generation of writing your story. And each time I ask myself, why aren't people writing their stories? And the answer is always, it's too difficult. There's too much. And so I simplified it, then I simplified it again. And so this is so exciting. It's hot off the press. It's a card. So when you come to this seminar, you know, and it'll take about 2 hours, you will get a card. The card is the centerpiece of it that has a curtain. You'll see it. I don't think anybody's seen this before. Mm-hmm. It's got a curtain, and you're going to divide your life into three acts as if it was a stage play. And then we're going to take a deep dive into the ocean.
Look at that.
Which is kind of goes along with Wayland Voices, and I can't believe I didn't do this before. But
she kind of nudged Kelly a little bit. So Kelly, yeah. We have you to thank for that, for the theme, right?
And so you can't tell every story in your life. You go on this deep ocean dive, but you'll tell four types of stories. You'll choose four types. So at the end of the seminar, you'll walk out with this all filled out with story titles.
Wow.
And then on the back, there's a place for a bucket list because we all are still living. So even if you are in your 60s or 70s or 80s, you still have things you may want to do. Now, if you get this finished, you can record your story. You can tell your friends about your story. People might decide they can write their story. And just this morning on the way over, my brother, I was talking to my brother, and he said, my friend who's from Minnesota is in hospice now. And he said, you know, when we leave the earth, the only thing we have left over is what we draw, what we write. And he said, how can I do this? And I said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to do a family conference call. I'm going to send you guys all the materials, and we'll do this. We'll go through this. So it'll be a great sharing. And I think when I work with people, I ask them to work with vignettes and to recall vignettes, or vignettes are just small stories. And then once you get enough of them, it sort of ties into the chronology of your life and what's important. So I'm excited.
Fun. Yeah.
So excited.
And so who's a perfect person? That first of all, this card is beautiful and it makes it feel so easy, right? I'm 53 years old and I'm thinking in 2 hours, how are you going to extract, you know, some of the little nuggets of my life? But it sounds like you've laid it out very easy. Mm-hmm. And it isn't necessarily just for aspiring authors. Anybody. So could you speak to who you'd like to invite to this?
Well, I think it would be good for, you know, I've got some groups already lined up. I've got some independent living places. But also, it could be used as an icebreaker at a retreat.
So this isn't just a, sorry to interrupt. This isn't just a one-time, hey, on this day, Jan's hosting this. And so this is an ongoing opportunity for groups to come together. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I understand.
And the sharing, you know, when people start to share, I might say, I have no ideas about this, but then you'll share your short story about shoes. And then, oh, I've got one.
Wonderful.
You know, we could all share stories about where we were 17 years ago. You know, any small word or any small window shades, attics, cats, you know, we all have stories about that. So could be for an icebreaker or intergenerational team activity. And again, writing your story. It's a great foundation.
And plan for about 2 hours.
Yeah. It's about 2 hours.
Okay. So
now it could be longer, but you
sure,
need at least
right,
that much.
Right. But now I'm understanding. I was thinking that it was just a one-time thing, but now really those of our listeners who are heads of organizations, nonprofits, businesses, or even just girlfriend or guy networks, this would be a great opportunity to have a chance to have you help be the shepherd for that group. You're itching to say something, Maria.
I'm dying to say, because I love this idea, Jan. But I'm thinking about how this could benefit families.
Well,
who
to your point with your own family,
elderly people mm-hmm. who have all the stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they're gone, they're gone.
Yes,
if they're not passed on.
Yes.
I've just recently lost two of my brothers, and their stories are gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, this is beautiful. I just love what you're doing.
Yeah.
My dad will turn 80 in November, and we are planning an event. I just talked to him this morning and said, okay, how big or small do you want this to be? He's only the two left alive out of a family of 13 siblings. He's the second to youngest. And we've been talking about that. My sister's great about being the historian, and she an uncanny memory. She can remember everything, the dates, everybody, what you were wearing, what you were saying. I would need to have it written. I would need to have it, you know, tangible. This is fabulous. Were you going to add something too, Kelly?
I was. Jan also does, you know, you can video it, right? And then separate it. This card's in three acts. So she it's chronological of your life, but it also brings up, oh, well, if that happened to me in that, I wonder if that's why, and then ended up like that. It's a wonderful way to remember somebody's life story. To do this workshop, whether it's at a family reunion or at a church group or in a mom's group, I mean, it literally could be done anywhere.
I hear that. Mm-hmm. And we don't remember things chronologically, do we? Mm-hmm. So it seems like you've created the process so that it's very natural and there's other entry points to mm-hmm. and springboards for other things.
And we don't all remember things the same way either, right?
No,
within
we don't.
A family especially.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm astounded by that sometimes when I'm talking to my remaining brother. But
now,
I don't remember it that way.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you get I'm the oldest of a family of eight, and my other brother, his wife, and I think you know this, passed away in February, and Joyce had been sick for a long time, so she wrote her memoirs, and yet when she passed away, the one regret he had was that her grandchildren wouldn't know her. So he said, instead of giving flowers, write a story of Joyce. And she had so many friends. And so they came in, and we had like 90 by June when her memorial was, we had about 90 stories. And so he's going to put them in a book. And what we learned is that a story, if we can think of a story as a moment in time, because some of them were coming in, they weren't really stories, they were chronologies. But a story is a wonderful story is a moment when you talk to your brother and he said this and it affected you that way. And then you really actually get a composite. So this is really a different, I'd never thought of this type of writing activity.
And I love it because it really sounds like it's for anybody.
Oh yeah.
And there's a possibility that this workshop will be a springboard for somebody to say, you know, I never really thought about being an author before. And they may want to do that, and hopefully opportunity for you to help shepherd that book.
Yeah.
But that isn't the point of the experience. It would be a great wreath on your door to introduce you.
Well, and people don't think that most women especially don't think that they're good enough to write a story or to, I don't have anything to say.
I agree.
And you go through this workshop and Jan's so encouraging. And by the end, you're like, oh, even if I just wrote it for my kids, I mean, if I would have had a book for my grandma, it would be the most wonderful thing, you know, to leave a legacy behind.
I agree.
How many times have we thought about why didn't we put recorder in front of
exactly
grandma, great granddad, whatever, that those stories and hearing my mother and my aunt argue over whose memory was better.
Right.
And there were 9 years difference between. So, you know, then again, you go into a perspective of, you know, what you were seeing it with your eyes at the different ages.
And storytelling, as it relates to sister cities or even just building bridges and across communities, I couldn't help but think as we're describing this opportunity, I bet you that plays a lot into, I think, the growth and the success of a sister city, because everything we are is story. It's our experience.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Nothing more than just to say, like, I'm picturing these kids who got to tour Intel and they got to go spend a day at GoDaddy and then they go back to their communities and they get to share that experience. It's in our perspective and oftentimes the joy or the hardness of something mm-hmm. is what shapes us.
Right. The stories that the kids would talk about, the Irish kids that were over there and or over here. And we were at Improv Mania one night. One of the dads is part of Improv Mania in Chandler. So he asked the kids who brought all of this together and they all pointed to me and he said, can you thank her for bringing you to the hottest day of the year in Arizona? But the next day, two of them came to me and said, you know, you just dry out. It's dry heat.
It is.
Although, so memories, stories that they can pass on that it's not so miserable at 115, that it really is a dry heat.
Yeah. And I remember on your website, one of the girls said, well, I had an exchange girl come over. And at first I couldn't even pronounce her name. And now we're like twins. She said, we're just so close. And it's really, they're forming lifelong friendships.
Absolutely. And you help us all do that. Now we have, each of us has three new friends through Jan Whalen.
Yeah.
And I love the logos that you used for your sea of stories, in part whales. And now I'll never forget how to spell your name. I interchange the E and the A all the time.
Well, this is an interesting story. Saturday, I'm going to be doing a quick little presentation on stories, and it'll be a lot of stories changing. I noticed on the flyer, she spelled my name Whalan at the top, and then below it was correct. But it reminds me that when we went to Chandler, we had one of the guys who owned the bar came and gave us two great big phone books and told me my name was spelled wrong. It should be Whalan. And he showed me hundreds and hundreds.
And he was insistent.
He was insistent. So she was correct.
That's interesting.
You're Irish through and through, Ellen.
That's fun. Well, listen, it has been great to get to know each of you and to have, of course, Jan and Maria back in the studio. And I do agree, Ellen, that when we tell stories, and that's one of the gifts that we get to do here at Business Radio X as well, we get to know something unique and something special about each other. And that's why I love it so much. A lot of times in networking events, you know, everybody's kind of, it's busy and you may not, you know, when you're chatting with somebody, they may not be focused on what you have to say or vice versa because they want to get out to meet all these other people. But when you get in a group where people really connect, I'll never forget aspects of this conversation. So appreciate you pointing that out. It's
Thank
been
you.
Great fun. Ellen, if you could start for us, how can listeners get a hold of Chandler Sister Cities and what's the first step in getting involved?
Our website for Chandler Tullamore is chandlerirish.org, and we're on Facebook as Chandler Irish. The new website that will have a link to the Irish, will have a link to the Taiwan website is chandlerazsistercities.org, and I believe it's live now. And
but so, if not, be watching for it.
Right.
Yes.
And on both websites, it will offer the opportunity to sign up for, to be, receive emails on our events and activities.
And that's usually how to first get involved. Just start watching for events and see mm-hmm. what's a good fit. And Great. Right. And from a business perspective, how can the business community support Chandler Sister Cities?
Well, we're always looking for sponsors for events. And now the Bigger Thought sponsor just for the organization. We have memberships at different levels, okay, all the way from an individual up to corporate sponsorships.
Great. And all that information, again, can
is on
either
websites.
One website. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thanks again.
In November, you have a big event coming up, too.
We do. We do. It's our annual Southwest Tea. So if you can imagine scones with jalapeno jelly.
I can imagine that.
So everybody can. We have our hat lady back this year who will sell hats. And so we have entertainment, of course, the Bracken School of Irish Dance. We have Bagpiper that pipes us in the morning. We'll have guest speakers. Again, Jan was so gracious last year to present her new book, You Are the Perfect Age. This year, we'll have our future mayor's wife, Lynn Hartke, as our keynote
Great.
Speaker. Some Irish songs and lots of raffle baskets.
Wonderful. And again, all that information is on the website.
The Southwest Tea is on the website.
Wonderful. Uh-huh. Thank you for that little plug, Jan.
Thank you.
And how about you, Jan? How can folks get a hold of you? And really what makes sense for the, you know, the first step in having a chance to see if they're a good fit for all the wonderful mentorship and guidance that you offer?
Well, I think go to my website, whalenvoices.com, and that's W-H-A-L-E-N,
right,
voices.com. And then just email me. I'm at jan@whalenvoices.com, and we can either chat if you're in town or if you're around the world. We can just talk on the phone or email.
That's important.
Those would be great steps.
So not just local clients.
Oh,
you work with folks all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have several that I've never met.
Very good. Okay, very important to know. Again, the website one more time and spelling again.
whalenvoices.com, whalenvoices.com.
Wonderful.
And jan@whalenvoices.com.
Wonderful. And thank you again for bringing such a powerful group of women here today to just have a conversation. Again, I think a couple different things. One about storytelling, but also the magic of being present with who you are. And then, of course, networking as well. So, Kelly, can you share for us how folks can get a hold of you?
Sure. Facebook, KLM Consulting AZ. Website as well, klmconsultingandmarketing.com. Or just Google Kelly Lorenzen, Lorenzen.
And again, you work with entrepreneurs. How big or small the organizations, or it doesn't matter? It's usually solopreneurs or?
No, some of them do have other employees. So usually 1 to 10 is good for me because I like working directly with the business owner because it is marketing them. It's branding them.
Very good. Very good to know. And Maria, how do folks get a hold of you?
My website is transitionandthrivewithmaria.com, and my email is maria@transitionandthrivewithmaria.com.
And the book is on Amazon and Kindle as well, right? The digital version right now is already out, pre-sale.
The digital version of Upside Down to Right Side Up, Turning Transition into Triumph is the name of the book. It is on pre-sale. Kindle is on pre-sale on Amazon right now.
Congratulations
Thank
again.
Thank you so much.
So much fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a pleasure to have each of you here. I would love to have a segment just specifically for Sister Cities. We'll have to talk about that. Wouldn't that be neat to have a couple of the different Sister Cities
Absolutely.
Organizations come and speak to that a little bit as well? Kelly, same thing. We'll have to have a larger conversation around marketing and branding. Really, such a joy to be with each of you today. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within Max 6 in the Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.